What's happening, fellas? This is Ken Kaplan, Sr. on the second floor of the New England Motorcycle Museum. It is Two-Stroke Tuesday, and I have probably one of the most important two-stroke motorcycles in this entire museum right here in front of us. This is the 1969 to 1971. It was a three-year run, Husqvarna 400 Cross. This is the motorcycle that could be credited and should be credited with the conversion from four-stroke to two-strokes. Then, of course, many years later, Doug Henry and his Yamaha 400 converted everybody back to four strokes, and things may come full circle again. But back to this bike right here, we're surrounded by literally, we're on the second floor of the New England Motorcycle Museum. We're surrounded by hundreds of vintage classic motorcycles, including a ton of big bore two strokes. This is a 400cc big bore two stroke, and the reason this thing dominated, well, the power to weight ratio. Back in 1969, a lot of the guys that were winning National, AMA Nationals, were doing it on Triumph motorcycles. Let me show you one of those. The same year the 400 came out, 1969, Triumph had this twin cylinder four stroke 650 that their factory teams based their racing efforts on. Guys like Gary Nixon won the 68 Daytona 200. They also won the Blackwater Enduro in off-road races and flat tracking on this. When you became Grand National Champion, that means that you won flat track, TT road racing, and hair scramble slash enduro. So off-road in the woods, like J-Day events today and AMA Enduros, flat track and racing at Daytona on the same basic frame. So, and these were very, make no mistake, they're very excellent racing engines and everything, but they're so much heavier than the Husqvarna. In fact, here's a 1967 Triumph Daytona 500. It's a twin carb model. This was called the Daytona because, well, they were winning the Daytona 200 races. But off-road, these big heavy four-strokes and even these single-cylinder four-strokes like this BSA Starfire 250 were no match for the lightweight Husqvarna. This is the most famous of the Husqvarna 400s, owned by Steve McQueen. And it actually graced the cover of the 1971 Sports Illustrated front cover of the magazine, which brought motocross, off-road, and desert riding into the mainstream culture. And then later, the movie On Any Sunday. Steve McQueen was a movie star, but he was also an accomplished professional motocross and off-road racer. A lot of people didn't know that. Steve was riding a Triumph very similar to the one I just showed you down there. And when he got on this Husqvarna, over 100 pounds lighter, 30% more horsepower, 30% more torque. The horsepower to weight ratio was much better on the two strokes, and they're a lot easier to service and work on. You could rebuild the engine in the pits if you had to, whereas the four stroke had over 100 moving parts inside of it. You only got about six inside of this, so it's much lighter, had more torque, and as soon as he rode it, he was sold. And in fact, this motorcycle right here, this bike is a world champion replica. That's a signature of Ben Ebert. He was the Husqvarna factory rider that dominated and won the world championship on this same exact motorcycle. The legend has it that Steve McQueen was at a race and saw Ben racing this bike and asked him if he could try it after the race. And he tried it and he was immediately sold and bought the bike from Ben right there and then. And from then on out, he didn't race his Triumphs anymore. He raced exclusively these Husqvarnas with great success. So it bought it to, with as many fans as he had a lot to do with making Husqvarna famous along with the movie. Only a three-year production run. This was originally a 360 in 68, and they improved the frame and the engine in 1969 and 70 and 71. And Ben won the 69 and 70 world champion FIM World Championship on this motorcycle. And over here in the U.S., the motorcycle was raced with great success by guys that are household names today, like Malcolm Smith, Gunnar Nilsson, and J.N. Robertson, the brutal Southern California desert races. These were dominating. So this is arguably the most famous model because of Steve McQueen's Sports Illustrated full cover shot on this motor with this exact same color motorcycle and same model, but it also was featured and extensively by him and Malcolm Smith and J.N. Roberts in the movie On Any Sunday, which became a cult classic and brought motocross and off-road into mainstream America's living room on the big screen. The name Husqvarna is synonymous with chainsaws and weed whackers, but also world-class motorcycles with incredible Swedish craftsmanship. This company's been in business since 1689. Just to put that in perspective, if you Google it, you'll find that very few companies last over 100 years. I think it's something like 0.003% companies make it. They've been in business for centuries. They've been through multiple world wars and lots of other changes, the Industrial Revolution and the whole nine yards. It's over 325 years of producing. Originally, they started out making firearms. They made guns. So over in Sweden, a lot of smart people, some great engineers, and they used their metallurgy expertise in small engines to build a bicycle-powered motorcycle originally in 1903. So Husqvarna has been around as long as Harley-Davidson. And this is the bike that started the revolution or evolution of bringing motocross to the United States in a big way. I know the Honda Elsinore 73 was credited for a lot of that because they made it affordable. It was like $699. You could buy a Honda Elsinore. But this is a bike that put the two-stroke in the winner's circle and put all the four-stroke manufacturers on notice that if they didn't build one, they were going to get smoked by the Husqvarna. John Penton also used a two-stroke in his Penton motorcycles, which eventually came full circle and was sold back to KTM. KTM was supplying him with the engines and frames and everything. So, and they're still in business today. One of the largest motorcycle manufacturers on the planet. KTM actually owns wholly 100% of Husqvarna motorcycles and GasGas and CF Moto now, which produces about a million small engine motorcycles per year, CF Moto alone. So it's, and I think there are about 270,000 motorcycles worldwide between the three other brands. So they are probably the largest motorcycle manufacturer in the world today. Husqvarna is no stranger in racing. They started their racing program around 1918 and in 1931, finished first and second at the Swedish Grand Prix. They also won the 1960 World Championship on the 500 class. So back to Steve McQueen, who made this bike even more famous. He was a professional racer, and legend has it that he paid his way through acting school by earning money racing expert and pro motocross and desert races. He was using the purse money from winning these races to fund his education. Steve later went on to represent the United States as a member of the USA 6 Days trial team in 1964 alongside the great Bud Eakins. He raced in a vast number of events over the 60s and into the 70s, including the Baja 1000, the Mint 400, and the Elsinore Grand Prix. In 1968, Steve was at an event and saw Ben ride this 68 Husqvarna 360, and he bought the bike on the spot, as I said earlier, and the rest is history. Two-strokes started dominating racing all over the United States and the world because it was much superior in every way to his Triumph TR6C desert sled, which is very similar to the one I showed you back there. Steve also partly funded the movie On Any Sunday and starred in it, and he went on to get a nomination in the Best Documentary class. If you have not watched On Any Sunday, definitely rent that movie or buy it. You should be able to get a copy of it online. It's a spectacular movie about the early days of off-road riding in the United States in the late 60s and early 70s. And of course, this is a bike he chose when he had to make a choice on which of his bikes to use for the Sports Illustrated cover. It was an easy choice. This red and chrome tank Husqvarna is absolutely freaking stunning. Even 50 years later, look at it. The thing's beautiful. In fact, on Any Sunday, actually won an Oscar nomination. And it's not just off-road. They show flat track, cross-country races, road racing, and everything in between. Because back then, in the late 60s, as I said earlier, to become Grand National Champion, you had to race motocross, flat track, and road racing. And usually they use the same frame and chassis, just change the gearing, suspension, and tires. So today, the sports have become much more specialized. So that's not even an option. Because of Steve's star power and all the super fans he had, they auctioned off a copy of, basically, this is a replica of his bike, but one looked just like this that he actually rode, but it was real ratty. It looked like it had just been dragged out of a barn and had been in storage for years, and it sold for $186,500 at the Mecum auction, which is, to me, just unbelievable. Almost $200,000 for obviously it was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and Steve wrote it and everything, but normally these restored bring in the high teens. We auctioned one off last year on eBay. It sold for $18,500 in similar condition. But point is, they didn't make a lot of these. Most of them got ridden into the ground, and they're absolutely a museum quality, investment quality, iconic classics. The tanks alone are just like jewelry. You know, 50 years later, they still look absolutely amazing. The motors are big and beefy. When you look at the aluminum Akron front rims are really nice. This is the original style wheel it came with. Aluminum front fenders, big giant cylinder fins, just a beefy, big comfy seat. Just a beautiful piece. And this is what swayed people away from the four-stroke Triumphs, this bike right here. Honda, Suzuki, Kawasaki, Yamaha followed suit with their two-stroke models, and the rest is history up until 98, when Doug Henry won the first Supercross in 1998 on a factory YZ400. And the AMA changed the rules so that you can run a 450 four-stroke against the 250 two-strokes, and they had to. They had to do that because the 450s you could never have as much horsepower on a four-stroke production motorcycle with the same capacity. The two-strokes, two cycles are just much more efficient and produce more horsepower and torque per cc. So they had to level the playing field by kind of cheating a little bit, running an engine twice the size of the two-stroke to beat it. But a lot of that has to do with the EPA and other reasons AMA had for doing it. But the two-strokes dominated motocross and desert racing and off-road from 1969 up to 1998. They had a good 30-year run. And it wasn't until around 2002, 2003, 2004 that the four-stroke completely took over off-road and motocross. At least motocross and supercross, when it comes to woods riding, the KTM Husqvarna Gas two-strokes still dominate in the Northeast here because they're much lighter and more affordable. So for roughly the last 25 years, the four-stroke has been dominating in motocross. And a lot of the youngsters out there have no idea that for 30 years, these things ruled the tracks worldwide. Not just Husqvarna, but Mako, Honda, Suzuki, Kawasaki, and Yamaha. I think every one of them had their chance at winning a world championship along the line. But Husqvarna's won their fair share. Here's an example of a Penton from the same era. Similar frame design. This one's a Penton 6-day 125 with a SOX engine in it. The Husqvarna engine was of their own brand. This Penton was manufactured by KTM using a SOX engine and imported by John Penton to the United States before KTM purchased them. Talking about two-strokes winning, this is a Daytona Special 400 Yamaha. The two-strokes were dominating road racing in the 70s also because they're lighter and faster than the Triumphs, BSAs, and other brands of four-strokes. Here's an early Bultaco that would have competed on the World Championship Series or along the same time, the Bultaco Persang. So some lineup of some of our 500cc big bore two strokes, including those were all Hondas, but we got the Yamahas. That's a brand new IT490. He's never had fuel in the tank. An iconic RM500, KDX 450, KX 500. These are the bikes that ruled the roost for a generation, including this is the fastest production motocross bike top speed ever, 123.75 miles per hour. This KTM 495 was clocked by Dirt Bike Magazine, 120, slightly modified, had a bigger sprocket and everything, but if you think about it, going that fast on a bike this tall with very few modifications is pretty remarkable. So the two-stroke versus four-stroke battle has been going on for a long, long time, and it's not over, not by a long shot. Most of this row here are two-strokes, which are super popular. These are Gas-Gas, KTM, Husqvarna, all made in the same factory, with the same components. These two-strokes are still dominating in America, American off-road, motocross, and overseas. They're just fantastic, lightweight, fast, and fun. And that's what it's all about. But there may be another revolution. There is another revolution starting, and that is the electric bikes. In fact, they're starting kids off on these, what used to be a PW50 or a Mini 50 is now an electric bike. The 65s are still two-strokes, but with the advent of the Stasic, the whole Stasic generation, a lot of the kids started riding on these little electric bikes. So like Junior, he's from the Stasic generation. So it's easy for them to convert those riding skills to a larger racing model. Like this Stark that you see here, this is the fastest, most horsepower in a production motor dirt bike made today. 80 horsepower at the countershaft sprocket. Stark has taken the scene by storm with these spectacular, they don't replace the internal combustion, but you can see how two-stroke, four-stroke battle. Now we've got electric thrown into the mix for indoor racing or city riding or urban riding. These are virtually silent, so this may open a whole lot of doors. And of course, with the Stasic generation, the kids are not afraid to hop on an electric bike because that's what they started on. So these may be the next big thing. Who knows? But it's pretty cool. I'm 60 years old. On April of 16th of next year, I'll be 60 years old. And I've got to live through these generations and see all the changes and all the new bikes and the rapid progression of the sport that I love so much. Back in the 80s, I was riding the CR500. Still am today. I've got my 97 CR500 set up for hill climbing. I still haven't found an engine that's more fun than a big bore two-stroke. So I'm actually working behind the scenes on developing some new cylinders and some engine modifications for these. So stay tuned on that. These championships that my daughter won right here in New England Motocross, four championships, were all on two-strokes. Junior's championships in the 85cc class, all of those were all on two-strokes. Mine were on mainly four-strokes in the 2012, 2010, 2007 era. That was what you had to be on if you wanted to win. So that's what we were riding. But I love riding the two-strokes. Love them all. Even like the riding this new Stark. That thing's, you giggle like a little kid when you twist a throttle with 80 horsepower. So who knows what the future holds, but we're enjoying the ride as things are developed and continue getting better. This can you imagine how much safer it was to jump a CR500 than a Harley-Davidson 1000 or XR750? Robbie kind of upped the game and set a new standard on this bike. This is a 1997 Damon Bradshaw 250. We also have Doug Henry's 1996 250 on display here in the museum. So if you get a chance to come down and check it out, please do. I've got to get back to work. Museum's open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday right now. We are here Monday through Friday. We just don't have tour guides during the week, so we prefer you come on the weekends. But either way, if you're looking for a new gas, we're the number one gas dealer in the United States of America today. We've had a lot of bikes, truckloads of bikes coming through. And this is my own personal Moto One. I used to get around the pits of electric bikes. Even I'm riding these things now. That's Junior's gas 700. So it's been great watching the evolution, but I'm not going to discriminate. I like riding them all. This is your chance, guys. If you can't afford to buy one of these bikes, we're raffling this off right here. This 2024 gas MC250 with factory connection suspension, fully kitted with sand tires, chains and sprockets, and factory connection suspension, brand new. Live drawing will be in a couple weeks, July 30th. So go to KaplanCycles.com, buy your ticket today. Thanks for watching, and God bless America.